Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly in this morning. We're going to talk about a number of things going on in the region. Matt, good morning. Good to have you here this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here,
as always. It is great to talk issues with you. Busy night the other night with City Council.
Yes, we talked about a bunch of different things.
About a few things
in particular, yes.
Wanted to focus. I thought we'd jump off and talk about the ordinance change that the City Council approved on a 6-1 vote. It's high density in the downtown area is what we're talking about.
Well, higher density in the downtown.
Higher.
Yes. What it basically is, and I want to put this in a perspective that everybody kind of understands. What staff was saying is, obviously our downtown developed well before there was zoning. And under our current zoning, the density of the existing buildings in some cases are not in conformity with that. In fact, the actual areas, there's areas of downtown that actually would have normally considered to have higher density than they are currently zoned. And in part, what staff is saying is we want to change the density to bring it in line with what some of the existing zoning is. And I've said the other evening, and I said when we've been talking about this, I don't have a big issue with existing redevelopment of existing buildings. You know, that makes some sense. My concern is how this translates into future development downtown. Mm-hmm. And I did a Facebook post, and all I did really was I went downtown and I took pictures of all the new development that has gone over downtown over the last few years. And you'll notice it's kind of out of scale to the downtown.
Right.
And part of the reason is, and my colleagues and staff said, well, you know, we did talk to the public about it. I made a point of saying that you read the announcements in the paper about zoning changes for public hearings, and frankly, they're intelligible for most people because they just cite ordinance sections and things like that.
They make no sense.
So 9 times out of 10, we move forward and staff comes and reports, nobody came and commented. And the implication being nobody has a problem with this. Well, they could have a problem with it. They just don't know exactly what we're doing. But they made the point that we did the small area plans and people were able to come in and comment on it. And that's true. But here's the thing. If you were to go ahead and say to someone, by the way, the density downtown in its normal situation as it developed is higher than what we currently have with commercial downtown, we want to go ahead and bring it in line with the density level that the downtown was established with. And you would think there is, as most people would, well, that kind of makes some sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, the downtown developed well before there was zoning, well before there were cars, well before there were parking issues, well before there were, you know, state and federal regulations with regards to floodplains, floodways, cost of property, cost of development, and a lot of factors that we're dealing with today that they weren't dealing with when they built the downtown. And suddenly you have issues coming forward. If you look at, I mentioned Charles Street the other evening, you can't have living space in a floodplain. So, you know, most of the time, if you look at Charles Street, for an example, they put parking lots or garages on the first level and then built up. On downtown, you can put commercial in there. But for the most part, if you look at some of the things that are going on down there, they're also putting parking down there. Then the developer loses, you know, there's a whole floor that I'm really not getting anything for. And then I need more density to go higher and higher,
higher
to
and
max
higher.
Out.
Yeah.
So we max out the sites. And all I was really asking is, can we really sit down and have a serious conversation about what these impacts are really going to be, one. Two, I don't like this piecemeal approach of we'll deal with this little issue here, then we'll deal without looking at its overall context of the entire downtown. That was kind of driving me, you know, a little bit nuts. And then again, I made the motion, you know, we're in the process of redoing the ARB handbooks and looking at regulations, and we're redoing the preservation plan. Can we at least get through that process before we start making changes? And that's the motion I made. I got Billy Withers seconded, and then that went down in flames, and we just, you know, moved on. And the other aspect of it to me was there was no rush involved in this. To me, the downtown is that critically important that we really need to take the effort. And I get a little uptight when I keep getting reminded by colleagues and staff, well, we have an ARB and we have this process and we have that process, and that's going to take care of everything. And I probably went a little long the other evening talking about over the last 10 or so years, all the things that have happened that, you know, demolished historic buildings, changes and things that have gone on that we, the city, initiated, which you could make an argument is contrary to what our goals are. So there's what's on paper and then there's the reality. And there's a difference. And we need to have a conversation about that difference.
And who's on some of those? Who's on the ARB? I mean, those things change.
Well, I am getting some pushback from some people saying, well, this board has changed. We're not like that anymore. Well, you're right. And we've got some very, very good people serving on all our boards and commissions, and I don't want to take that away from them. But you're right. It changes. Today it's great. Tomorrow it's not. And I guess the biggest thing for me is until the importance of preservation, if that's where we all say we want to go, is basically ingrained in all aspects of the city, no matter what rules and regulations you have on paper, they're not going to carry through mm-hmm. to reality. And, you know, that's what I would prefer we do is have that really serious conversation and informed conversation. Because one thing, when we talk about dealing with the public, 9 times out of 10, it's just strictly, what do you guys want? You know, we're going to do something. What do you want? You need to talk about, in the case of downtown, floodways, floodplains, development costs and things of that nature, so people have a context in which to make an informed decision or give informed input. Just, you know, throwing stuff out or writing something on a chalkboard or a line on a bunch of paper and saying, here's a colored sticker, you know, put the sticker where what you like to hear.
Yeah.
That's not really getting us where we need to go.
Well, and I wonder too, when you're talking about, you know, if you tell people, say on Monday, hey, we're gonna be voting on an ordinance change, you know, like you said, those things are hard to read and hard to understand. They become real when all of a sudden something starts being built, and you're thinking, why would you put that? Why does that look like that? And it comes down to, you know, it was because of, you know, these all become real when you start seeing it in life.
Well, the classic example I gave Tuesday night was an ordinance put forward related to future development in the floodplain areas, because again, you have that space that potentially would be difficult to use in the floodplain. And it was basically saying, we will measure the height of the building from the line. If it's 16 foot area, then we'll start at 16 feet and you can add footage from there. So all of a sudden you're looking at 70 plus foot buildings potentially downtown. And when it came to us, nobody's commented on this, and therefore, and before it came to us, I called up HFFI and I said, guys, you're okay with this? And they went, okay with what? I said, 70 plus or 70 foot buildings downtown. They go, what are you talking about? Huh. And again, it was put in a notice, and this is what we got. And that's the other thing I pointed out, and I just think it's very important. We're a small city. We can do things that probably bigger cities can't do. We do what we are, when it comes to interfacing with the public, we do what we are required to do. We should be doing more. And on the downtown and other areas, we really should be doing a lot more than what we do.
And in these days, it's harder. I thought it was telling. Crystal Vanuch was here yesterday from the Stafford Board of Supervisors, and they're talking about downzoning parts of the county. And she has said, and she said yesterday, you know, she wants all that put off until people can actually come into the building and, you know, and be able to speak, you know, in person to the
supervisors. Well, here's the thing, that's great. But you need to make sure you provide the public with the information necessary on the front end so they can make an informed decision. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, as I said Tuesday, you know, I don't look at this as an issue of CD zoning. I look at this as an issue of our historic downtown. And that's a perception that I might have a difference with some people. And the fact of the matter is, when I did the Facebook post on this, And a lot of people made a very valid point. You know, you're talking about all this development and how it's out of scale and everything else like that, but it's bringing in a lot of revenue to the city. And you can't refute that argument. That's a valid point to make. You can have differences of opinion. But if that's the way we want to go, I would just ask my colleagues and city staff as we discuss this and say, look, you know, Matt, we really appreciate your, you know, your feelings for the historic downtown, but we want to go in a different direction. Fine, let's have that conversation. But don't keep saying, oh, no, we're in a historic town. We're always being a historic town, a unique town, when stuff like this continues to happen.
Yeah. I want to talk about your Facebook posting because I found it interesting on a couple of levels. We'll do that when we come back with City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. We're talking about an ordinance change the council voted to move forward with the other night. You talked about a Facebook posting that you did week and a half ago. It was very interesting because you went around town and you took individual pictures of a lot of the things we've talked about. And a couple of things there I found is it was a lot of things that I have just always gone by and seen and not given it a second thought. All of a sudden you look at it, you know, isolated in a picture and you see where it's out. But the other thing was a lot of people come. I mean, there was great discussion on that post.
Of all the posts that I've done over the years, that one has gotten the most comments, most shares, and it was a very, very good conversation. It got a little heated, but at times. What I was really happy with is that it did not digress into name calling and anything. It was just very focused. And again, some very, very valid points were made about economics and tax bases and what do we expect. And that's the kind of level of conversation you want to have. But to do that, and a lot of the people who comment on that, there are realtors on there and developers. One of the owners of one of the homes I photographed as being a little bit out of scale chimed in. Mm-hmm. It was a great conversation. But you need to provide the proper setting and information so people can comment on it. And I think that's where we have a disconnect in the way we approach the public. Again, it's kind of, hey, what do you think about this? It's not, hey, here are the issues, here are the options, here are the directions, here's the pros, here's the cons. All right, chime in. It's just, we're going to increase density. What do you think? And that's just not the way to go.
Because of what council did the other night, will we see more people, more construction, more things downtown now?
Staff mentioned that they had already been receiving phone calls. I would have thought there would have been a follow-up question of what kind of phone calls, what kind of development, but that didn't happen. I don't know. But by the way, let me make one thing clear. That was our first read. We have to do two reads on an ordinance change. So we have to have another vote at our next meeting. So if anybody wants to chime in between now and then, on either side, again, I've really been pleasantly surprised with the amount and level of conversation and ideas floating back and forth on this issue over the past week or so. But again, most people agreed, I didn't know this was going on. And then, boom, then everybody started putting in their two cents. And some people are very good about coming back and saying, well, you need to understand this. And then back and forth. And, you know, talking about the issues of affordability, another big one, and to increase density in a downtown that already has very, very high values, increasing density on land like that does not decrease the value. It increases value and cost. So, you know, the idea that by increasing density by itself increases affordability is not quite correct.
Yeah, I can't see that any of that, the downtown could ever become affordable.
Well, here's the thing. We can, as a community, do anything we want to do as long as you understand and we have the conversation of saying, if you want to do this, if you want affordability downtown, we can do that. But we would have to be looking at tax breaks and subsidies and everything else like that to make that work. And one of the speakers, a husband and wife, you know, actually sent in a letter that or comment that was to that effect. Let's let the redevelopment occur, but can the city do something to ensure that either tax breaks or whatever to make sure that that property can be affordable? And that's a conversation worth having. Right now, and I've said this and I'll say it again, we have, as a city, are basically incentivizing anything you can think of under the sun except the issue of affordability, which is a big issue with this community, and taking steps to maintain the character of the downtown. Because as much as there, I have friends that go, you know, you need to stop the developers from doing this, this, and this, and building tend to be this, this, and this. There is an economic component. Nobody can build anything at a loss. So there does need to be a conversation and saying, okay, if you're telling me you've got to build three stories because of cost and you could show me that, let me see what we can do as a city, either tax breaks. And we have some of these programs already on the books in the historic districts, tax abatement programs for redevelopment and stuff in the downtown. Let us see what we can do to minimize those costs. We did it on the George Street project, where Foodies is. It is still kind of big, but it's a lot more to scale than it was as originally proposed.
Yeah,
brought that up when we did the Coffee Warehouse project, which I photographed there, and I voted for that project, and everybody's going, away, that's way too big. Well, I did sit down with the developer and say, hey, you know, give me A, B, C, and D. What can you do to modify this plan and put a cost to it and tell me this is going to cost you X amount of dollars? And give us an opportunity to see what we might be able to do to make this work, and got absolutely zero support to move that conversation forward.
Whenever we have this discussion, you always it's discussed in council. You talk frequently about, and have for years, about wanting to protect Fredericksburg so it doesn't become anywhere USA.
What is amazing to me, and there are sites on Facebook that are very good and talking about what everybody else is doing, and best practices is a great concept. You know, what are other look? I commented all the time on my Facebook page where I go to different communities and see how they do things differently than we do and how we can do it. But we keep talking about being a unique city, which we are currently, and then now keep talking about, well, everybody else is doing it, so let's do it. I mean, one of the posts on the Facebook, well, people want a vibrant downtown where they can walk around and go eating and shopping and have all these experiences. And, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with the point, but, you know, I can go to Charlottesville, Richmond, Washington, and a lot of other places and have a better experience at it. So why are we trying to be like everybody else? And, you know, that's part of the conversation we need to have. You know, what do we want to be? And no, you know, small area plans, comp plans do not answer that question.
Well, and once it's gone, it's gone with a lot of
things. And that's
the thing.
We have lost some significant historic buildings downtown, even in the last few years. And in most cases, it was through city action that they came down. And, you know, do we need to look at what else we can do? One of the things I asked staff was the potential of, why don't we just make the historic downtown a zoning classification unto itself and make the rules and regulations instead of its CD with an overlay? Well, that's, you know, that potentially requires General Assembly action, which is 9 times out of 10 used in the context of, no, we can't do it, instead of saying, well, let's talk to our General Assembly reps if we can come to a community agreement on what we want our downtown and how important our downtown is, and then move out accordingly. But that doesn't seem to be happening either.
So, like you said, that there'll be the second reading, the final vote will come in 2 weeks. Is there anything else on the horizon on this front that you're looking at and have some concerns about?
Well, I'm not really, this ordinance change, there are valid points to be made for making it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to say we're totally insane, but to me it was just kind of that one more step looking at the broader picture of downtown, where it was kind of time to say, wait a minute, let's stop and look at what we're doing. You know, you just asked a question that should have been asked Tuesday night, frankly. What's coming down the horizon with future development? Because there were projects that have come forward already that, and I want to give to the ARB credit, who kind of stomped on some of them, rightfully so, but we're getting these projects coming forward that are big and cover large areas.
Yeah.
And one right next to the bridge, new Chatham Bridge, in and around behind the post office area off of, in the Lafayette Boulevard area. And another factor that I brought up is, we have always said that we don't want to see development on the river. Yet, what are we seeing today? Development
on the river.
So, you know, we've been talking about a transfer development rights ordinance for a long time, which would give us the ability of saying, okay, if you can't build on the river, we'll let you build someplace else. And that, as I've asked again, for why can't we get an update on that, and why can't we renew the discussion? Are we still serious about saying we don't want to see new development on the river? Because it's happening, and we're not, it's not even coming to council about, hey, by the way, we want to let you know that these projects are coming forward, and it's contrary to what we have up to this point, what we're saying is the case. And being told, well, you know what, they can do it. So,
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. We will continue on. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:29.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
City Councilman Matt Kelly is here this morning. It's a way different General Assembly session this year. And I guess with it virtual, it's hard to follow anything. Have you seen or heard of anything that is going on in the legislature that may impact local governments
yet? There's a lot of things on the periphery. We're getting, you know, I get briefs from all the organizations, VRE and everything else, what they're going on. The big one, I guess, for us that I guess has cleared the first hurdle is a new law that would basically require all elections to be held in November.
That's right.
Which we are not too thrilled with. I mean, there's pros and cons to it. Pros is obviously local election turnout is abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
Con is then all of a sudden local elections get totally subsumed by state and federal, and then you bring the party stuff into play. And under the current atmosphere in this country, I don't think that's going to be advantageous for the future of local government. But we will see how that plays out in the end. You know, there's still that hanging about what is possible, not possible, due to how, you know, COVID is impacting everything, you know, going down the road with funding, especially on transportation. You know, how are we going to handle transit in the future? You know, right now it's very low, obviously, but, you know, do we let it falter or do we try to maintain it on the understanding that we're going to come out? You know, the CTB got a briefing, Commonwealth Transportation Board, as we start throwing acronyms around, who are the guys that decide how the transportation funding is actually done, you know, got a briefing and basically saying 95 traffic is basically right back to where it was, you know, pre-COVID. So, you know, everybody's trying to get their hands around that, and that affects decisions on funding and direction.
Well, so and I know that VRE, the ridership is staggering how low it is. But I have noticed and have seen those same things about that 95 seems to be back. And I would think if that's the case, that VRE ridership may again start to
well, we're
move
now
up.
Going through, you know, everybody's getting inoculated and, you know, we have those discussions and how that will. I mean, I do believe that telemarketing will become more prevalent in the future. But at the same time, you've got to look at what the growth patterns are for this region and, you know, factor that in.
Yeah.
And I think maintaining our transit options, GW Ride Connect, Slugging, which ties into the two, VRE, you know, even more bus service and stuff and van services is going to be critically important for the region.
The George Washington Regional Commission, the executive director, Linda Millsap, announced her resignation the other night, and she's been a
huge, huge loss for this region.
She is, because I had gotten to know her of her coming, and I was going to ask you about that, because she had a passion for what she did and had made a lot of connections in this region, and I was sorry to see that.
Well, if I were to put it succinctly and in a nice political fashion, I would say that Linda exuberance, her dedication, her organizational skills, and everything had moved us to pick up speed that I think the board had was not ready to do. And I think part of the problem is, as we go forward, is we really need to sit down as the political leadership of the board. And, you know, for the city of Fredericksburg, regionalism is critically important for our future. We can't keep at 10.4 square miles maintaining a lot of what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be critical for all of us. And I think there is still a deficit of understanding of the importance for all of us. A classic example occurred at the last meeting when we were talking about GW Ride Connect. We were just talking about transit, which is kind of one of those things that not a lot of people know about, but has a huge impact. You know, this is working with the vans and getting people rides up and everything
if
else.
You're, like if you're a commuter, program. It's huge, yeah.
But nobody hears about, and you know, until the Freelance started an editorial saying, well, it's everything's down, and that's true. But it's a critical piece to our movements. And yet we had we were talking about providing the matching funds for what we get to run that operation. And we had a jurisdiction actually vote against the matching funds, which was basically a vote to defund a critical piece of our transit plan.
Defund GW Ride Connect.
Yes.
Boy. I've got a lot of questions about, I mean, why would you do that? I can't imagine that this area would even consider
that. Well, the argument is, we don't have any many riders right now, and it's COVID, so we don't need to do this. Because, again, I specifically, as the conversation was ongoing about whether or not, again, the state and the feds provide 80% of the funding. We have to come up with the 20% match, which comes out of our jurisdictional dues. And it was going back and forth, and I'd ask specific questions. If we do not vote for the match, then we do not get these funds, what happens to GW Ride Connect? And I should also point out that the board, by the way, I'll say not with city support, I'll just say that, voted against. We had had a plan to provide some of our CMAQ funding for this program out for the out years, and the board stripped that out last year. So they get the funding this year, and then one of the things I asked for at the last FAMPO meeting, GW Ride Connect's actually out of GWRC, but some of the funding we're talking about, CMAQ is a FAMPO issue. There, I just confused everybody.
I was going to say.
I know. It's hard to keep.
So what,
I have time.
I don't even know what I've heard it, but what remind me what CMAQ is.
Congestion Management Air Quality Funding.
Okay.
It's usually funding that is not used for roads, unless you can show that it's going to have an impact on air quality and congestion.
Okay.
But we stripped it out, and when it was done, the report was, well, we can find other money for that. And so the other evening I said, you know what? You've been saying that now for months. And that was the excuse used for stripping it out. I said, you've never come back and told us where the money's going to come from. Mm-hmm. So I want to see what the plan is for that money in the out years to keep GW Ride Connect going. And I've been told, now that we have new leadership at FAMPO, and I have no doubt that Mr. Olis will provide that information, and if not, then we need to go back and revisit this, our allocation of CMAQ funding.
The what goes on with localities around here has gone on forever. Tension, I guess, is what you could say. It varies at different
it's
times.
It's always there.
It's always there. And it doesn't matter who's elected.
Don't tell me what to do with my jurisdiction. And nobody's doing that. What GWRC primarily is there to do is, where are there opportunities for us to work together? And it's just, for some reason, we have a very difficult time coming up with those areas.
I liked how you, when you described Linda and with your very politically correct, and you can read through it, but reading through the lines, it sort of seems like, and we've seen this with a number of different people that at times some of the people who are tasked to work with all the localities just get tired of what's going on.
Again, I want to keep the focus on. Dr. Millsaps, I mean, she hit the ground running. We had some financial issues. She cleared that up. She reorganized, mm-hmm. brought some really top-notch staff on board, jumped on the Go Virginia initiative with a vengeance, and was doing everything she can. And a lot of cases to help us. You know, we've all got to deal with water quality water runoff issues that are going to be very expensive for all of us. And, you know, I'm trying to find ways to deal with that. And, you know, just the response to all this effort, and a lot of effort, was probably, I could see where it would get a little frustrating.
Yeah. City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. About a month from now, you'll in the midst of all of the pandemic and stuff, it'll be budget time again in the city. And in the midst of a pandemic, now overall, I remember at the beginning of the budget, when you were working on last year's budget, there was great fear of what lies ahead, and I guess there still is. It's not quite as bad as you thought.
Well, it's interesting how we, as government, pivot in the sense that we took an action on Tuesday night to basically, we had held back 25% of the budget and we restored it because staff came back and said, wow, great. I didn't quite say it this way, but good news.
Yeah.
We're meeting our budget projections. Well, and everybody's going, okay, wow, we can restore the budget. It's, you know, great. Well, no, but it still means that we just met our budget projections, which are still, in a lot of cases, significantly lower
than they were
than they've ever been.
Sure.
And I would only point out that, you know, the last time we went through something like this, when with the housing bubble burst, you know, back 2008-09 and on in that time frame, it took us years to get back even to what it was prior to.
Yeah.
And with everything else that's going on, and this is part of the pressure that we have, and again, when I talked earlier even about preservation, about looking at the big picture, I can understand we need to really consider our tax base, mm-hmm. and protecting what we have or increasing it because of these issues. And again, a legitimate item to talk about. But let's be upfront and frank with the public, you know, it's going to take us some time to get through this. And we have a lot of things coming at us that we have to deal with regards to school, with regards to law enforcement. You know, we've had these conversations about a new fire station and how's all this going to play in. So we've got to be very, very careful with these next budgets and really what I'll say, and I know my colleagues will disagree, take a real long-term view of, instead of looking at going from budget to budget, you know, we got to look out a few years and say, you know what, I'd like to do this right now, but knowing that we're going to have to do this in these 3 years or 4 years, and this is what the cost is, you know, we might not step back because we're not looking potentially in the next few years at a lot of what I'll call new revenue, i.e. above and beyond what we had pre-COVID.
Yeah, yeah. The You hope in the next year, you hope that sometime later this spring, we actually have baseball in Fredericksburg. I mean, nobody knows.
That's the plan. Yeah. And I really do hope they can be up and running. And again, for me, it's also, I want to see the public being able to use an absolutely fantastic facility.
Yeah.
I said it from the very beginning. I mean, the very first meeting we had on it, going back over a decade, I guess. Yeah, pretty much over a decade now.
Yeah.
You know, we sat down there and they said, you know what, we have X number of games and we have X number of events. And most of the events they held at that stadium were not baseball related. They were other, and they're doing that now. You know, they have corporate events. They've hosted groups there. They've had, you know, film nights and things mm-hmm. of that nature. And that's what you really want to see. For me, it's more looking at it as the community asset and not just a baseball stadium.
But it'll be nice when it actually is a baseball stadium.
I'm hoping we'll be able to do something this year and get that going.
There's got to be some kind of minor league baseball, and you hope that as we go along here that the number of us that can go to a game, I want to go to a game with you sometime.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about it for years, and
yeah, you've never been able to go on our road trip.
I never have. No, when you were
going to Blue Crabs or Hagerstown, we were all over the place.
Yeah. Now, going to a Blue Crabs game on your recommendation of several years ago, you saw the vision of what it mm-hmm. what it could be, and I think what it's going to be here.
Again, it's what was interesting, the point that was made when we were looking at it, and some of us had gone up to a game. We were talking to one of the owners of the Blue Crabs. And he goes, you know what? If people leave here, maybe a third of them can tell you what the score was. Because
right.
for most of them, they're here to
social
just socialize, be with friends, be with families, have a good time. You know, they have play parks for the children to go play in, and it's time for the adults to be able to get together, have a beer or two and a hot dog and have a conversation. So it's a lot more than baseball. I think baseball is a great thing. It's America's pastime. I played it, coached it, everything else. Had my baseball cards. Usually keep the score in my book.
Yep.
When I watch a game, so I do know what the score is when the game ends. I can tell you the errors, the runs, and everything else with it. But for most people, it is. It's just a really just for a few bucks, it's a great evening out.
So when you go to a when you go to a Fred Nats game, if I go to a game with you, you're going to sit there and you're going to actually keep score. Or
oh, I take out the program and I've got the lineup and I've got the innings and the K's, the and all the the 6-1s and what or the 6-3s and whatever. Yeah, sure.
Okay, because I'm one of the who goes in at the end. Who won? I don't know. Is it so interesting? You'll learn a lot when you just sit down and talk to somebody. City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly is here this morning. The point of you every year you take part in the point of time count that for area homeless, and you've done that for many years. I think it's been done. Boy, it really
too many ass I can remember.
It really is the kind of thing that you see, because we talk about homeless and it's just this term, and we see people and we know, but boy, when you go around and you see how they're living. That is it's a pretty sobering thing.
Well, what I do is leading one of the field teams. I mean, I've got to give Micah credit. They do a great job organizing this. And by the way, this is something that the feds like to have this number count. It has to do with funding and a lot of other things. So it's not just we're going out and counting people for no particular purpose. But one of the parts is to go out to, known or thought of campsites. And, just to make sure we get everybody counted. But it's an opportunity. And what I do, and I've done it, I think, every year that I've been out, is I take photographs. And I'm going to make it clear, if I'm in a camp and there's somebody there and I ask permission to do it, if nobody's there, I'll take a picture of the tents and stuff. But I will not open up or go into a tent or do anything to disturb it. Right. And I try to make sure, because we had this problem the first time when the Freelance Star took photographs. And here's, you can see what's in the background and go, well, we know where that is. I make sure there's nothing in the photograph that indicates where the location is. But I think it's important for people, like I did with the Facebook post on downtown development. We don't focus on it a lot or think about it, but here's an opportunity once a year to show people what I call the other Fredericksburg, so you can actually see what we're talking about, and I think it's an important we keep trying to have a conversation on this issue, and it's hard because even before we have our current political dynamic, it's always been a very hard conversation to have because people kind of go, well, you're a heartless, if you say anything contrary or have a question, and then the other side, it's you unrealistic do-gooder or whatever, and it devolves into that, and it's an issue that we have to deal with. We have a responsibility to everybody in the community, whoever they are, whatever their situation is, to be at least provide them the opportunity to better themselves, and I'm looking forward and hope that enough people look at it and say, maybe I need to do something, or how do I get involved in that conversation?
Yeah, they'll put some of those pictures on our Facebook today, and they do that. I meant to ask you a few minutes ago when we were talking about your Facebook postings, just about the development and the scale of things and the comments. It seems you put that. I mean, on a lot of these issues, we've talked in the past just about how it seemed that on so many issues people didn't care. And it seems as though, whether it's because people are in more and have become more reflective on things, people do care, I think, on a lot of these issues, and we're starting to see some of that.
Oh, I think we are. I think the number of people, and again, it's a limited way, and I fully understand, as I'm being told by my youngest son, though he's 28, of Facebook. Can't you do? And I can't even myriad of different platforms.
I hear the same thing.
Boggles my mind. That, yep. You know, the great something that's on Facebook with the interview with a millennial. Go, oh, Facebook, that's for old people. But you know what? Yeah, I'm kind of getting to that point in my life, and it is, and it's the one thing where I one area where I feel I can put stuff out there. And again, you're right. It's been really interesting in the last. Since this has all started, that people are really beginning to pay attention to what's going on around them, and hopefully we'll see more community dialogue. And I think if we, the city, take more efforts to go beyond just doing what we're required to do, and even in a COVID situation, there are innovative ways to get input, and that we do more of that. And again, I hear it all the time. Well, if we have a public hearing, nobody's going to show up. Well, if they don't show up and we take a vote, you can always say, we gave you the opportunity, you didn't take it. And we need to do a lot better job in giving the community, especially if it's a community of our size, the opportunity at every possible moment to chime in. Not saying we're going to agree, but we got to have the conversation. Great Tom Paine, it's through argument and debate that the best solutions come forward. And we need to have more of that and stop doing it in an insular fashion.
Well, because for so long, in the days when city council meetings were held in city council chambers, there would be you would have the public hearings or you'd have these discussions. There would be no public. It will be interesting to see when things open up again, if we see more of people wanting to come and actually face to face talk.
And I think we've done this before. We've looked at this issue before. And what does most people say? Well, you guys have already decided before I walked in the room, you don't care what I have to say, blah, 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 blah. I think if we take that and go, okay, now we're going to step out. We're going to listen to you. We're going to get you in the, as I've told staff and in my conversations with staff and colleagues, people who are going to be directly affected by an action we take should be in the room on the day one. Not to say that they get a kibosh anything or stop anything, but we need to listen and understand their concerns, ask their questions, because frankly, that saves us a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. Crepe Myrtle's classic example. If we had sat everybody down in that neighborhood on day one and said, hey, we've got some issues, this is what they are, give them the opportunity to respond, we wouldn't be going through what we went through on that issue. And I'm hoping we learn from that, and in the future we'll be a little bit more proactive as opposed to all I have to do is have a public hearing. We've got to have it advertised so many days before the event. Nobody shows up. Okay, nobody's interested. Everybody thinks it's great. Let's move on.
City Councilman Matt Kelly. Matt, thank you.
Nope, not a problem. Enjoy coming in.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Bye.
City Councilman Matt Kelly, that's it. We'll see you on snowy Monday, probably. Stay safe.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.